If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn with us, if you would, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 2 tonight. Exodus chapter number 2. I do realize this is a missions-related meeting. Maybe not necessarily a missions conference, but it is a missions retreat, a missions meeting. Not necessarily focused as far as preaching to the church about missions, but we have some of the greatest missionaries amongst us are with us, and we've tried to be a help and encouragement to them. But tonight, let me say this. I'm seeing fewer and fewer young men, young ladies, young families going into missions. Amen. Let me say, not just missions, but ministry in general. And we are told in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 37 and 38, the Lord said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Then he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest." We are in dire need of some young people that will hear, answer, and surrender to the call that God would have for them. We are in dire need of that. Now, I've been asked several times, Brother Harold, if I thought that the Lord was no longer calling. I'm convinced that the Lord is still calling. I do not believe that he's quit calling. I just believe people's quit answering. And I'm concerned. Y'all see how many kids took out of here a few minutes ago? What a blessing it is to have these young people in the meeting. And the Lord set this up just right. They're down yonder and the parents are in here. I just want to follow the Lord tonight and just give you a little thought and try to challenge or try to charge you as a parent. Whether it be mama, daddy, or mama or papa, you're still a parent. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I don't have kids yet." Well, who knows what tomorrow holds. Amen. And so I really believe it could be that we don't have any parents raising any children that might be interested in a call from God. Now, I do know that God has moved outside of that before. He's called young people that did not have any raising, and he's called them to ministry, and they've went and been successful. But y'all will agree with me that parents have a great impact on how their children turns out. Great impact. And so we're going to take just a few minutes. Now there's some, I know what's going to take place here in just a little while. And so I know there's some other things fixing to happen tonight. And so I'm just going to take just a few minutes and just spend a little time tonight with Moses' mother. Now I know tomorrow's Father's Day, and I'm not leaving y'all out, but parents in general. And in the text that we're fixing to read, there's really not anything said about his father. Now, we do know from studying the scripture that Amram is Moses' father. The text we're going to read is not even going to tell us Moses' mother's name, but we do know that it's Jochebed. Amram and Jochebed are Moses' parents. I am thankful for Hebrews chapter 11, because the Bible said in Hebrews 11 that by faith Moses' parents, didn't say mother, said by faith Moses' parents. So we do know that Amram is involved. Amen. But let's look at this event. I'm going to try my best to hurry. You pray for me. Listen fast. We'll preach fast. And then we'll see what the Lord does. Exodus chapter number 2. I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. Let's stand together. Just give you a moment to stretch your legs. Exodus chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. and she laid in them the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And when she had and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be here. Thank you for everything that's already been said and done. Lord, it's been a real good night tonight, and we don't want to overlook that and don't want to take it for granted. Thank you for moving in our midst and speaking to hearts. But now, Lord, for just a few minutes, please help us. Lord, as we just look into the Word of God tonight, asking you to speak to us, give us exactly what we stand in need of. Please touch me and use me tonight any way that you see fit. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything that is accomplished. Lord, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm just going to look at three things tonight. It's almost as if I'm just focusing mainly on Jochebed. But again, I do believe Amram was involved. I want to look at three things tonight. Number one, we're going to look at the fact that she had him. Number two, we're going to look at the fact that she hid him. And then number three, we're going to look at the fact that she held him. Three things real quickly tonight. First of all, I thought about this. She had him. Let's think about the day in which she had him. Now, they are living down in Egypt. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the background or the details of the text. They are living down in Egypt as slaves. You recall how that through Joseph, God brought that family down into Egypt in a time of famine, and God literally saved them down yonder in Egypt. But then it came to pass that Joseph died, and the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh is on the throne, and he sees that the children of Israel have begun to multiply. And there's fear that those children of Israel may join themselves up with their enemies and turn against them. So they put them into slavery and made them serve as slaves there in the land of Egypt. They've been there now in Egypt for some 430 years. They've been praying, they've been crying out for God to send deliverance. Amen. And then when we come to this portion of the scripture, that Pharaoh has made a decree. We'll look at that decree in just for a few minutes. But before I deal with that, let me just think on this. Moses' parents are living as slaves in a foreign land, a land that is not their home. This is not the land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. This is not the promised land. This is a land that is bringing nothing but burdens and bondage upon them. With that being said, no doubt Jochebed and Amram are probably living in some kind of hut. I don't even really know what it might have been in those days. Living conditions, to say the least, was subpar. Y'all with me? To bring a child into the world in living conditions such as that, a lot of people would think that would be crazy. Amen. To bring a child. We've got people today, even young families today, that don't want to bring children into this world. And we ain't living nothing like they were living. So I thought about the day in which she had him. But then let me mention quickly the danger when she had him. There was a decree made by the Pharaoh. He said he first met with the midwives and thought he had an agreement with the midwives. Said if any baby boys are born, You go ahead and take care of the problem firsthand. You kill those baby boys and let the girls live. Well, that didn't work out. Don't have time to go into details. Matter of fact, Pharaoh called those midwives in and said, why ain't y'all doing what I told you to do? And they said, well, these Hebrew women are strong, and by the time we get there, the baby's done born. That was their excuse. But then he said, well, he just told all the people, if you see a Hebrew baby boy born, throw him in the river. Kill him. There was a death sentence on every baby boy that was born. Y'all with me, right? The day when she had him, the danger when she had him. But then I thought about this, the dedication when she had him. It would have been a fearful thing, no doubt, in my mind anyway, for a young lady to become pregnant in that day. Have to be. Have to be. And probably there had to be some thoughts when a young mother did conceive. She might have even prayed this way, Lord, give me a baby girl. What y'all think? There's a death sentence on them boys. So there's a good chance when she conceived, she might have said, Lord, please let it be a little girl. Probably Jochebed has already heard the cries of mothers whose babies have done been thrown into the Nile River. She's probably already heard that. So when she conceived, there had to be a little bit of fear that overcame her in the fact that this might be a baby boy. Well, she goes into labor. The labor pains have arrived, and she begins her delivery. I don't know if there's a midwife present. I don't know if Amram's there. I don't know if it's Miriam. I don't know who's in the room. But Jochebed has her baby. First thing she's wondering, I believe, what is it? Amen. And when somebody told her, or when she saw that it was a baby boy, wonder what went through her mind. Oh, they're going to try to take my baby away from me and throw him into the Nile River. But something happened when Jochebed looked into the eyes of her baby boy. I don't know if there's not better words to use. I'm just going to give you what the Bible said. When she saw that he was a goodly child. I don't know what all that entails, but it must mean something pretty deep. When she looked in the eyes of that baby boy, here's what happened. Jochebed said, by the help of God, they ain't getting this one. Amen. By the help of God, I'm going to do everything I can to see to it that my baby boy ain't drug off and thrown into the river. Amen. She determined, she dedicated herself to do everything within. I want to stop right here and say it'd be real good if we had some parents, regardless if it's a newborn or a 15-year-old, it'd be good if we had some parents that would determine tonight that by the help of God, they're not going to get my youngins. That'd be real good. It's almost as if in this day and time, we've got parents that's tossing them out into the world. The danger, the day, the danger, the dedication, she had him. Now let's look at this real quickly. She hid him. The Bible said she hid him for 3 months. I thought about her effort to protect him. My word, how difficult that might have been. She don't want nobody to know. She don't know who's going to tell on her, turn her in, or come and get her baby from her. So no doubt she's going to do everything she can, try to keep him quiet, try to keep him hid, that nobody's going to take him away from her. She had to put forth some effort on, I'm talking about great effort on her part to keep him hid. Now, I know this ain't popular preaching, and I know this is 2022, and a lot of things have changed, but I still think it's a pretty good idea to keep our babies hid. Amen. You say, preacher, and I know what society and science has said. You're going to warp them youngins if you don't let them get out yonder in this world and experience things and be a part of things. Let me tell you something. They're going to get enough of that in spite of all that you can do. But I want to encourage you tonight to do everything that you can within your power to keep them hid. Amen. I mean, learn to say no every now and then. You're not supposed to be their best friend. You're supposed to be mama and daddy. And then if it works out that you still are their best friend, wonderful. But you're mom and dad first. Y'all okay? It's Saturday night. It's closing out the meeting, preacher. What are you doing, preacher? I'm just trying to mind God, I promise you. It'd be real good if we'd put a little bit more effort into our protection. I'm wanting to say some more right here, but I ain't got, I don't want to. But you better be careful what you let them be a part of. I'm going to have to go ahead and deal with it just a little bit. There may be some wonderful school teachers here. I am not against you, and I'm thankful for you. Do everything you can in that public school to try to teach them Jesus. Whatever you can get by with, you do the best that you can. I'm going to tell you something. One of the most dangerous places for our kids in this day and time is public school system. I know some of you got your kids in public school and you can't help that. And I understand that. I'm just saying you better work harder in trying to protect them if they're going to public school. Amen. I mean, we've got public schools inviting drag queens to come in and teach your children what little time they've got them. Right. Amen. They ain't going to let no preacher come in there, but they'll let a drag queen come in there. Right. Oh, mercy. Yeah. Y'all pray, okay? Her effort to protect him. Then I thought about this, her effort to provide for him. It came down to it, she done all she could do. 3 months, say, preacher, that ain't long. In that day and time, I bet it was. That was a long time to try to hide that baby boy. Try to keep him quiet, try to keep from anybody finding him or telling on her and turning her in. That had to be a long time. And after she done all she could do, I'm sure she prayed. She sought help from the Lord. I think her and Amram discussed. No telling what all went into this, but their plan became, let's build an ark for him. An ark of boldness. I wonder where they got that idea of building an ark. Amen. Oh yes, there was another family that needed to be saved during a wicked day. What was it they used? They used an ark. So she done everything she could do to make that ark, help me mama, as comfortable, as nice as she could make that for him. Don't you guess? Oh, she took all the slime and the pitch and took real care. I ain't got time to deal with all that. She put forth an effort to provide. Let me say, I appreciate you working hard and trying to make a living for your family and this and that, but I do want to ask you a question before I go on. Just what are you trying to provide for them? Is it all about the Nikes? Is it all about the nice things of this world? What is it that you're trying to provide for them? I know every parent wants their children to have it better than they did. I understand that thinking, but you better start looking at what it is that you're trying to provide for them. Amen? Oh, please, think about that as you provide for them. Here, I'm going to throw out this little problem, and I'm going to move off this little pet peeve of mine. We'll go out and pay $500 for a gaming system for them.
But we'll go down to the dollar store and pay $9 for a Bible for them. If they even have a Bible. And here's what they say. Well, they won't take care of it. You think they're going to take care of that $500 gaming system? Come on now, let's be real. Well, preacher, I don't want to put all that money. I'll get them a good Bible later. We'll get them a good game later. I'm meddling now, ain't I? Yep. Her effort to protect him, her effort to provide for him. Then I thought about this, her effort to pray for him. Oh, mercy. Can you imagine when it come time to let go? She got that thing completed and she's weeping, Mama, don't you guess? Tears are running down both cheeks, and she takes that baby boy, kisses him on the forehead one last time, puts him in that ark, probably some kind of covering over it, pulled that cover over down yonder by the river's brink, and somebody had to set it in the water and let go. I got to ask you a question. What do you think she did then? It don't say, but I don't think it has to say. Where do you think she went? What do you think she did? I think I know the answer. She went somewhere and began to cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, please, God, it's out of my hands now, Lord. It's just in your hands. I'll guarantee she prayed that God would save her baby boy. Can I ask you, how much effort are you putting into praying for your babies? Oh, mercy. That convicts me every time. I don't pray near like I should for my children and my grandbabies. Do we believe prayer works? Do we really believe we're talking to the creator of the universe who has all power in heaven and earth? Do we really believe it works? If it does work, why don't we pray more? She had him. She hit him. I'm already through two of them. Y'all okay? I think we're moving all right. Let's look at this last one. She held him. And when she let go and she went to praying, I believe Mama dispatched Sister to see what was going to happen. She's probably trying to stay back, not to make it obvious who she is and what she's doing, but she's somewhere where she's got an eye, a clear view on baby brother. And lo and behold, about that time, here comes a band of women down to the river, right yonder where they put baby Moses. Her heart sank as this band of women came. You know what band of women it was? Why, it was Pharaoh's daughter and some maids, some women with her. Lord, no, not Pharaoh's daughter, anybody but her. Amen. I mean, you'd think that the Pharaoh's daughter pick him up and pitch her in himself, herself. That ain't what happened. She's watching as they fetched him out of the water. He began to cry. God done something in the heart of the Pharaoh's daughter and put a love in there for him that only God could put in there. Here comes Big Sis running out. Excuse me, ma'am. Would you like for me to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse him for you? She's looking at that baby boy, already falling in love with him. She said, why, sure, that'd be a good idea. Go get one of them Hebrew women to nurse him for me. Oh, and by the way, honey, tell her I'll pay her for doing it for me. Amen. That had to be God. Big Sis running back to Mama. She's trying to contain her excitement. She busts in a little old shack of a door where Mama's in there weeping and praying. And Mama is probably expecting the worst. I would have been anyway. I don't know about Jochebed. She probably had a whole lot more faith than I would have had. But Miriam bursts in there and said, Mom, you ain't going to believe this. She's expecting the worst. About that time, Big Sis says something about Pharaoh's daughter. Mama's heart sank. But she said, no, Mom, it ain't like you think. She wanted me to come get you and for you to nurse him for her. She wants to keep him. Man, Jochebed's trying to clean dry up all the tears, and she don't want it to be obvious that he's mama or she's mama. I don't think anyway. But she goes out, John, trying to maintain her composure. And just in a little while, just shortly after she said goodbye, just a little bit after she let go, guess what? They's back together again. That's good preaching at the graveyard. Amen. She done all she could do for that loved one of her life. She finally had to let go and let God. But little did she know, just like that, they's going to be back together again. Ain't that good news? When you've done all you can do for your loved one and you had to let go, before you know it, going to be back together again. Oh my, let's get back to the story. She gets a hold of Moses. Mamas, y'all going to have to help me right here. I don't know what it's like to be a mama. But when she got a hold of her baby boy, you talking about holding him. Let me give you three things on this and I quit. First of all, I want to say it this way. She enjoyed him. If anybody enjoyed holding their baby boy, she did. Not just her holding him, she just enjoyed having him. I want to help you, Mama. We've been there. We raised three. We didn't think we was going to make it. We didn't think we'd ever get them raised. Amen. We didn't know if they was going to survive. We didn't know if we was going to survive. Some of you been there. Amen. I look back now, and it went by so quick. We were watching some home videos not too long ago. Believe it or not, they used to have home videos even when mine was little. They was usually like big TV cameras, but we had some. And we was watching some home videos the other day, and it broke my heart. There my little ones was on film. And it seemed like all we did, forgive us, but it seemed like all we did was hollering at them. Every video, we hollering at them. They did deserve it. But oh, how I wished I could hit the rewind button and I could go back and just love them a little more if I had the chance. Listen to me, I know there's some lilies. There's one sitting there and there's a whole bunch down yonder. Before you turn around two or three times, you daddies are going to be walking them little girls down the aisle. It's going to go by quick. You mamas are going to be watching them boys get in the car and pull out of your driveway. It's going to happen quick. What are you saying, preacher? Enjoy them while you can. Take time to love them. Cuddle them. Caress them. Kiss on them. It ain't going to be too long. They ain't going to want you kissing on them. Amen. Oh, I wish mine could crawl up my lap one more time. Enjoy him. Let me give you two other things real quickly. She enjoyed him. If anybody knew their time was short with their child, she knew it. Get a hold of that. She was going to keep him long enough to nurse him. Now, Brother Sam, I'm not sure if I'm right about this or not, but from what I've read in history, in those days, it wouldn't be nothing for a child to nurse for up to 5 years. So she's had him for a pretty good while. And I will say this, even after he went to live in the palace, there's a good chance he's still got to go back by and visit. I think that's possible. But it went by quick. And she knew she wasn't going to have him long. So not only did she enjoy him, but please get a hold of this, she educated him. Please get... Last 2 points, I want you to pay attention carefully. I'm fixing to quit. She educated him. Are you with me? Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Is that right? See if we can name them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote them. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, he wrote from life experience. He was alive during those days. But if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he was alive on day one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who told him that? Let me help you. They didn't teach him that in the schools of Egypt. You know where he learned about creation? Mama. Probably daddy. They taught him, they educated him. Who told him about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Who told him about Joseph? Who told him about the flood and Noah and the animals and the ark? Who told him about all that? He didn't get that in Egypt. Now, I know it's Holy Ghost inspired, and God could tell him without anybody's help. But God usually uses man to inform man. She educated him. Let me give you this one. But not only did she educate him, she encouraged him. Oh, please don't miss this one. This is the gist right here. 1/4 of the book of Genesis is about one individual. In other words, most of the book of Genesis is about one person. Does anybody know who that person is? It's Joseph. 1/4 of the book of Genesis, he wrote about Joseph. Yes, there's a lot about Noah. Yes, there's a lot about Abraham. But 1/4 of the book is about Joseph. Why did Moses spend so much time on Joseph? Pretty good question. I know it. Holy Ghost inspired. I'm not erasing that. I'm not ignoring that. Holy Ghost inspired. But why did Moses spend so much time on Joseph? I think because mama and daddy spent a whole lot of time talking about Joseph. Why? Here's a question. Why? They knew Moses was going to have to live in Egypt, be taught in Egypt, trained in Egypt, live according to the customs of an Egyptian. They knew that. But oh, how they wanted him not to be an Egyptian. They wanted him to be a Hebrew. Y'all with me, ain't you? They didn't want him to bow down to the idols of the Egyptian gods. They wanted him to honor the Lord God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Amen. So why did they spend so much time on Joseph? Because they knew there was one by the name of Joseph that lived in Egypt and stayed true to God. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, friend, even in 2022, it's possible to raise up some young'uns that will live amongst the Egyptians but can stay true to God. Do you believe that's possible? Oh, yes. But I'm telling you what it's going to take. It's going to take some mamas and some daddies that'll get serious with the relationship between them and their children and the God of heaven and do everything they can to teach them the things of God.
It's possible that we bring up some godly children. It's possible we can raise some missionaries up, some young preachers up, even in this day and time. I'm telling you, they need a mom and daddy behind them, backing them to do it. Quit trying to push them to be football players and baseball players and basketball stars. Teach them to love God and give their life to God. No wonder we ain't got no youngins wanting to serve God in this day and time. We got no moms and dads interested in it. Oh, Lord. I'm not mad. I'm concerned. We can't get parents to be faithful to church. How's our kids going to be faithful to church if mom and daddy ain't faithful to church? Can't get mamas and daddies to pray. Who's going to teach them to pray if mom and daddy won't pray? It's possible to bring up some kids that love God, but it's going to take a whole lot of effort on mom and daddy's part. Are you willing to put forth the effort? No, preacher, I don't know. I'm kind of like this sister. I'd be scared to death. God sent them to Africa. Let me help you right here. Your youngins would be safer and better off in the middle of Liberia, Ghana, or anywhere else in Africa in the will of God than they would be if they sitting on your in your living room on your couch out of the will of God. Amen. Sure would be good if we had some parents that would want to raise a Moses. If you don't, who will? Who will? We need a Moses in our day. We need another Billy Kelly. We need another Maze Jackson. We need another Sammy Allen. Amen. Somebody's got to help raise them. I know God can call them out of the midst of a mess. He can. It'd just be a whole lot better if we had some mamas and daddies begging God, Lord, use my baby. Do something with my kids. Lord, I don't care what you do with them, just as long as they're serving you and in the center of your will. I wonder if you'd be willing to put forth the effort. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We need some missionaries. We need some preachers. Hey, we just need some good church members. We need some prayer warriors. We need some youngins that know how to get a hold of God. We need some young people that know how to pray. But I'm telling you, somebody's going to have to show them. Somebody's going to have to teach them. Somebody's going to have to train them. And it all shouldn't be on the preacher. I think the responsibility falls on mom and daddy. It's your job. It's your job. Oh, I wished you'd be like Jochebed and determined. God, help me. Help my babies be what you'd have to be. Hey, listen, Mama. Papa, your job ain't done yet. I'm telling you, they some wouldn't be here in this church tonight if it wasn't for a godly mamma or a godly papa. Prayed them out of trouble. Amen. If mama wants, somebody needs to. If daddy wants, somebody else needs to. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Do you realize how important your job is? You have a part in the training of the next generation. Don't take that lightly.